The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
Last week, we looked at an Old Testament character, Moses. And this week, we're going to look at another Old Testament character. But first, a game of Who Am I? Ready? My time on earth did not begin in a natural way. I had no earthly father. I was made in the image of God. I was innocent and without sin. In my innocence, I was tried and tempted by the serpent. I made an important decision which involved a tree that impacted all of history. My decision had both conditional and unconditional consequences. While I was asleep, my side was pierced. After I awoke, I was given a bride, one in whom I could be one. I was also given authority and dominion over God's creation. Who am I? It works a couple of different ways, doesn't it? Because you might be tempted to say, Adam, that's Adam. You might be tempted to say, Jesus. And you'd be right if you said either of those things. I want you to look at 1 Corinthians. You see there 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 38, 42 through 50. We're going to read that here just in a moment. And I'm going to show you a couple of textual things. And then I want to do some comparing between Adam and Jesus, because there are some similarities. And then there are also some really important differences as well. But I think, this is the kind of stuff that just gives you goosebumps. First of all, let's do some reading. 1 Corinthians 15. Are you there already? 1 Corinthians 15, 35 through 38, and then 42 through 50. Here we go. But someone may ask, how are the dead raised? And with what kind of body will they come? How foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, just a seed. Perhaps of wheat or of something else. But God gives it a body as he has determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. Now to verse 42. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. So stop right there just for a second. Paul's doing several wonderful things here with the language. He's talking about seeds. He's talking about what comes after a seed is planted. And he's pointing out that the seed doesn't look like what comes after. The seed also has to die in order for it to come to life later. So he's comparing our bodies with that. We are perishable, we die, we are planted, as it were. But then what comes after is imperishable. Again, just before verse 45, if there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. He's saying, so look at how this works with seeds. And because we see this with seeds, there's something here that we ought to catch about our own selves. Verse 45, let's go on. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. We're going to come back and look at language here in just a second. Let me say that again. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural first, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. I like that phrase. The second man from heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so shall we bear the likeness of the man from heaven. So I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. All right, now there's two or three little words in here that I want you to circle. And I had a wonderful time learning about the original language here this week, and I want to pass on just two or three of those nuggets for you. Go back first to verse, 45. It says, so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. Okay, the Greek there is living soul, a living being. He's created and he is living, a living person, you might say. But then it says, my verse has a semicolon in it. And after it talks about the first man, Adam, it then says, the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. Look at the word last. I was delighted to discover that that word in Greek is eschatos. What do you know about the word eschatos or eschaton? It means the utmost, the extreme, the final, the ultimate, having to do with final things, the final destiny. Is there, therefore, say, a third Adam? No. Jesus is not only the second Adam, it's more than that. It's beyond that. Jesus is the eschatos Adam, the last one. Let's go on. And he's a life-giving spirit. On the one hand, the first Adam was a created being, a soul. In this particular case, the last Adam, the eschatos Adam, is a life-giving spirit. And then I want you to go down to verse 47. It says, the first man was of the dust of the earth. Where have you heard the phrase, the dust of the earth? Does that ring a bell? Adam was created from the very dust of the earth. Where else have you heard the phrase, dust of the earth or dust? We return to dust. And every Ash Wednesday, as you come forward to receive ashes on your forehead, we remind you that you are but dust. And to dust you will return, right? That's what Paul's talking about right here. But then look what it says. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man, deuteros, where have you heard the word deutero or deuteros? Deuteronomy, second law. In this particular case, it doesn't mean just number two, the number two man from heaven. This word means the second or the other of two. There's only two, and he is the other one. Jesus is the deuteros man, and he's not from the dust of the earth, but he is from heaven. Isn't that interesting? Note that both of these have bodies, but one is governed by the flesh and the other by the spirit. So Jesus is not a life-taking form. Jesus doesn't receive life. Get this. Jesus is a life-giving spirit. So let's do some contrasts, some comparisons between Adam, who was a type of Jesus, and Jesus. And there are some similarities. When I was reading that "Who am I" paragraph a minute ago, you may have picked up on several of those. Both of them have a miraculous beginning to their earthly life. Yes, the first Adam was created by God. Jesus has a miraculous beginning to his earthly life. The Holy Spirit comes upon the Virgin Mary, and Jesus Christ is made flesh. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Adam was made without sin, yes, but he fell. Jesus was without sin and did not fall. We'll get to it in just a minute. But when Adam falls, he takes the whole of humanity with him. When Jesus does not fall, he redeems the whole of humanity and takes them with him. Isn't that beautiful? Adam is given authority over creation. Jesus is given authority over all creation. And Adam is given a wife by God. Jesus is also a bridegroom and is given a wife by God. And we are it. The church. But there are some important differences I want to point out as well. First of all, and then let's get to some more scripture. Adam was given a choice that involved a tree that impacted history from his time all the way through Christ. Now, what was the tree that Adam was involved with? The tree in the garden that God said, don't eat of it. Satan later said, did God really say? So there was a tree there. Adam had an encounter with a tree. And that impacted history from his time all the way through Christ. Adam was the disobedient one, and he succumbed to sin at that tree. And get this, he failed to protect his bride from the serpent. Adam's wife fell. She was tempted by the serpent. What Adam should have done was protect the bride. And he didn't. He failed miserably to protect his bride from the serpent. Through one man, Adam, we lost our lives and death entered the world. Adam, that first man made from the dust of earth, was expelled from paradise. He lost the opportunity to have communion with God in paradise. And humankind was therefore separated from God because of sin, and consequently all creation was turned upside down. Now let's compare that with Jesus. Jesus was given a choice involving a tree that impacted all of history, past, present, and future. What is the tree? Yes, Jesus had an encounter with a tree. Unlike Adam's encounter that resulted in some consequences from his time forward, Jesus' encounter with the tree changes all of history, past, present, and future. Marvelous. Marvelous. Jesus, unlike Adam the disobedient, was obedient, and he defeated sin at the tree, and he saved his bride from the serpent. What Jesus did at the cross saved us from the curse of our ancient adversary, the serpent. Through one man, the last Adam, eschatos Adam, all can have access to life through him. Jesus is the second man who came from heaven and is with the Father in paradise right now, and all of us have access to that through him. Thanks be to God. This ultimate Adam, this final Adam, restores fellowship with God. What the first Adam failed to do, the ultimate Adam restores. And that's not the whole of the story, as if that were not fabulous enough. Because in the garden in the long ago, when the first Adam fell, all creation fell with him. Not only humankind. I'll show you a verse here in just a minute. All of the created order was turned upside down. Thorns infest the ground. The toil of humankind. The curse that even creation is under now and groans to be set free. Listen, the last Adam is Lord over all creation. And at the last day, all of creation will be what? Rewrited, because the last Adam has dominion over it. I want to show you some Bible verses. Turn please to Romans 5, 12 and following. Wonderful place that talks about this. Romans 5, 12 and following. I'll skip around a bit, but you'll be able to follow. Listen to this. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, who is that? And death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Skipping forward a bit. And death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking command, as did Adam, who is a pattern of the one to come. Stop right there a minute. Already, Paul is telling us that Adam, the first one, is a pattern of the one to come. Thanks be to God. A perfect one, an ultimate one, going down a bit farther. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, who? Adam. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? If all of that destruction happened through the first man, Adam, who was a type of Christ, how much more then will happen through the life of the ultimate Adam, Jesus? Abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness. Mercy, thanks be to God. Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. Let me ask you a question. What was the trespass that resulted in condemnation for all people? What was it? Disobedience. Absolutely. Adam had a choice. Adam sinned. That was the trespass. And all of us are cursed because of it. All of us have come under the dominion of our ancient adversary. And yet, Paul says, so also one righteous act, who by the ultimate Adam, results in justification and life for all people. Turn now to 1 Corinthians 15, 20 and 21. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 21 says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And then look at this sentence. For since death came through a man, who is that man? The first Adam. The resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. Who is that? Christ Jesus, the ultimate Adam. The second man, not made of the dust of the earth, thanks be to God, but from heaven. Here's another one for you, Romans 8. Turn over to Romans 8. Romans 8 and then 19 through 23. This is the one I was going to show you about how the creation also waits in expectation of being rewritten. And because of the person and work of Jesus Christ, it will be. Romans 8, 19 through 23. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. What? Somehow also all of creation is bound up with us in this glorious transformation that will take place. Creation is waiting to be set free. We continue. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, there it is, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. And then this marvelous sentence. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever groan? Do you groan at our present circumstances? Do you groan to be set free from them? Do you sense that the earth itself is groaning? I do. Groaning to be set free under this bondage the enemy holds, or did hold. The enemy held our certificate of ancestral indebtedness. But our victorious Christ Jesus, the second man and the ultimate Adam, takes it and tramples it and cancels it and destroys the enemy. He defangs the serpent. He unseats him from his place, and he is completely victorious over everything. Thanks be to God. During this season of Epiphany, we see the light of the world, and the light of the world is Jesus. And we discover that the light of the world has another title or two that you might not have thought of before. Jesus is the last Adam. Jesus is the man of heaven. The first Adam brought death. The last Adam entered into death and killed it. And when we unite ourselves with him, we who are sown perishable will be raised imperishable. And with a whole new creation that Jesus himself will present to the Father. I'll close with these two pieces of scripture. Romans 6, 3 through 5 says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Do you not know? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Already? Not yet. Coming soon. Romans 5:19 says, because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will become righteous. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, I scarce can take it in. The ultimate Moses who leads an exodus that the first Moses could not have dreamed about. Lord Jesus, you who are the ultimate Adam, thank you for bringing it all full circle again and standing with us at the tree and saving your bride from the serpent. We would unite with you, Lord Jesus, so that in your death, burial, and resurrection, we too may be raised to new life. I pray, Father, that if there are people here today or those who are listening on the podcast later who do not know you and who have not been united with you, Lord Jesus Christ, that this would be the day that they surrender their own feeble attempts at maintaining their own lives and fumbling about trying to remember why they were created, that this would be the day, Lord Jesus, that they would accept you and your story and want to be a part of it, that they would surrender control of their lives to you and thus be united with you as you bring many sons to glory. Father, I pray for the rest of us that we would be people who look to you, the author and finisher of our faith, and remember that everything is summed up in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For we ask all of these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an Ancient Future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about Ancient Future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.